with Chris and Helen. And now it's time to welcome Diana O'Carroll back into the studio for this week's Question of the Week. Hello, Diana.
Hello, Helen. Well, this week I've been slaving over a hot stove to find you the answer to this one.
Hi, this is Kathleen from Portland, Oregon in the United States. And I'm wondering, why are humans the only animals who cook their meat? Does it give us an advantage against parasites, or is it just cultural at this point?
So, who was the first head chef, and why do we need them anyway?
I'm Robert Foley. I'm Professor of Human Evolution at the University of Cambridge in the Leverhulme Centre for Human Evolutionary Studies. Cooking is certainly unique to humans. There's no other species that does it. There are obvious reasons for that, because we're the only ones that can make fire, which is a prerequisite. So in a way, fire comes first and then cooking becomes a process after it. It's becoming clear that really cooking provides quite a number of advantages. Richard Wrangham from Harvard has been doing a lot of experiments looking at how cooking can change the nutritional value of food. And what it seems is that the process of warming food up, in a sense denaturing it, has a number of effects. One is the food's much more tender, and that we know. Eat a cooked carrot instead of a raw carrot, and it's much easier. So we can spend less time chewing, we can swallow it faster, and we can digest it faster. And it seems that, in one sense, it's an extension of things we see in other animals. So animals will use techniques often in their stomachs to tenderize food, things to try and make it more easily absorbable. If we turn to the other question of when all this happened, the real question there is, when do we first find evidence of fire? And that seems to be about 500,000 years or so ago. Now, we don't find direct evidence of cooking then, but we do see over the next 100,000 years or so, beginnings of things like burnt bone, which suggests that meat is cooked. And so it's probable that it goes quite a long way back in our evolutionary history. And some people would argue it's really a very major change in the way we are able to live and survive.
But cooking can also affect how digestible food is.
Hello, my name is Peter Lucas, and I'm a professor of anthropology at the George Washington University, Washington, D.C., in the USA. Now, there's a second possible advantage for cooking, is that it improves digestion. We've done a model study here, particularly with Jung Tren Chui when she was here, and is now in the University of Purdue in the USA. And she found that, yes, cooking does, to some extent, improve digestion, but you only need to cook something for a fraction of the time of what you actually do in order for it to be digested properly. The cooking times that people adopt when they normally say, this is cooked, seem to reflect very strong mechanical changes in the food. In other words, these are things that affect your perception of food texture and allow you actually to eat it very much easier, very much shorter eating times than you would do if they're raw. And that, I think, is what I would give as a essential answer at the moment.
So it looks like fire brought about those tender and juicy steaks. There's definitely an advantage to cooking. Apart from bug killing, you don't have to bother chewing for as long, as Professor Lucas argues. And this is why we get away with having wonky teeth, apparently. So there's also the idea that squishy cooked food can be good for weaning babies off milk when they don't have very many teeth.
And on our forum, JNA pointed out that ants actually make fruit fly soup using their own digestive enzymes. And RD mentioned that Japanese macaques not only wash their potatoes, but they season them in salty water. Mmm, delicious.
So, from the animals of this planet to something totally out of this world.
Hi, it's Jake from South Dakota, and I was wondering if a balloon filled with helium would float on the moon.
So, what would you do if you were planning a party on the moon? Let us know by emailing chris@thenakedscientist.com or by writing it on our forum. That's thenakedscientist.com/forum.
Thank you, Diana. That's Diana O'Carroll with this week's Question of the Week. More Question of the Week, tomfoolery next week.
Lifting the lab coat on the world's best science. The Naked Scientists.
This is The Naked Scientists with Chris Smith and